So we are so happy to see you. I am very happy to see you coming to church this morning. And I believe strongly that whosoever is sitting beside you is also happy to see you. So we thank God. And this morning, this is the topic we look at this morning. Crisis. And I'm not sure there's anybody here who's free from crisis. Everybody's involved. So I remember last week when Brother Andy was finishing his message, I took this snapshot. He said, life is never just one thing. It's joy and sorrow, beauty and brokenness. So there is what we call fluctuations in life. And the end result of every fluctuation is frustration. And one thing we need to understand is that this world, the systems of this world, is built on fluctuations. Now, if you can tell me there's anything which is so steady and doesn't change in this world. All the systems, are you talking about economic life? We have the economic cycle, right? It's good sometimes, it's bad sometimes. Are you talking about the health, sector? I'm sure I've not forgotten COVID-19, right? It's so fresh in our mind. So, is it about financial issues? Is it about marital issues? What about it? Everything keeps on changing. So that is why the subtopic for what we're going to discuss, confronting crisis, is fluctuations and frustration. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 11, it says, all is vanity. Everything is vanity. So if it's vanity, then it implies there's something that is very steady. In the presence of unreal things, in the presence of fake things, there is something that is true, that is real. And that is what the good Lord calls us to embrace. Remember, someone said King Solomon was a renowned, teacher in Israel. He was so brilliant. He taught so many brilliant things, but he practiced otherwise. Why should that happen? And that exposes us to the weaknesses of men when we tend to trust in our knowledge, in our understanding. And that is why the good Lord calls us to embrace him. He's given us Christ Jesus our Lord, who is the focus of our attention as Christians. And that is what we're going to consider today. So the theme for this morning study is taken from Psalm 55, 4 through to 6. And I read, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Have you ever sung this song in your heart before? In times of your difficulty, when you look to the left, you look to the right, there's no solution coming from anywhere. You begin to think, what is all about life? Life doesn't make any meaning. Why am I here? And sometimes you are pressed from the left and from the right, and you are being squeezed in between and don't know what to do. This was the song of King David. This was not sung when he was a shepherd boy. It was not sung when his greatest enemy, Saul, was chasing him. No, it was sung when he was a king. So, irrespective of where you are, crisis is not a respecter of your class, your influence, your power, your wealth. It's not a respecter of that. And the most, frustrating thing in life is when you have everything that you can lay your hands off, still, you find yourself in the midst of crisis. That's the most frustrating thing. And that is what the good Lord is calling us. So let's try and find, look at what crisis from the Merriam-Webster dictionary tells us. It says crisis is an emotional significant event or radical change that is inevitable in every person's life. And we all come to that stage in our life. It's a time that is unstable in your life, that you need to take a decision. And then when you talk about the confront, to confront means to face, to go face to face. You see, there are times when you are engaged or you get, you know, being confronted by anything that you feel like you don't have power over, then the very thing you need to do is to run away, right? You turn your back and to that problem and you run away. But today, our study topic is confront crisis. Confront it. And how do you do it? You yourself, you don't have power within. So how do you confront the crisis? It's a challenge. And that is what the good Lord is calling us to do. So the question that I would like to pose to each and everyone sitting here is, upon what ground do you confront your crisis or make your decisions in times of challenge, difficulties? Upon what ground? How do you confront it? Because in the first instance, you don't have power over it. And so, if you want to confront it, how do you do that? As Christians, the Lord Jesus has not left us as orphans. And that is where our source of strength comes in. So Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine. What does the true vine mean? For the branches to receive nourishment, to receive strength to grow, to bear fruit, comes from the vine. If they are cut off from the vine, they can't do anything. That is why John 15 verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And like I said, life storms is not a respecter of whether your political power. You can ask, I don't know if you are friend to any president in this world. You can go close to that president and ask him or her, do you have crisis in your life? They would probably tell you, I have the biggest crisis in my life. How even to control my family is a problem, not to talk about the country. So it's not respect of anything. And then we have to understand our Lord Jesus Christ as a man, truly man, was not spared of crisis. And what did he tell us? Matthew chapter, I think that place is very far. Peter, can you give me my laptop? It's very far. I can't see it. I think age is catching up on me. That is what Auntie Moni wants to say. Yeah. So really, it is very, very important. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us. Thank you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more would they malign those of his household? If Christ Jesus himself, upon all the miracles he did, people did not still believe and termed him as, you know, an evil spirit, how much more you and I? Do you think we'll ever be spared? No. So definitely, we will encounter crisis in our lives. But Jesus Christ, like I said, he did not leave us as orphans. So he speaks here in Matthew chapter 7, 24 through to 26. I read, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of that. You see, it is very, very important. Like I began by saying, this world and its systems, the traditions, your vocation, your whatever thing you put your trust in, it's like the boat on the sea. The boat on the sea. If it's not hooked to an anchor on the shore, remember, it will be dangling because the waves will determine its direction. It will be just dangling back and forth. So, if you want to build your trust on the systems of this world, the institutions of marriage, maybe your vocation, your profession, your educational level, and or how much you've been able to acquire, and so on and so forth. If you want to build your life on these, because they are not stable, you are going to encounter frustrations at all times. I don't know if there's anybody here who is engaged in stocks. In China here, those who are engaged in stock exchange, who buy the shares from this, you see them always on their phone and be looking at it. When it's green, their faces are light up. When it turns red, so your heart begins like, that is who you are. But Christ has given us his word. He said, whosoever hears my word and does it, there's a stability for you. Why? Because you build on the rock. Rock is very stable. That is why even across the globe, whenever they are constructing bridges across sea, they go deep down, down, down to find a rock to lay a foundation so that it can firmly stand against the waves. So Christ telling us to build our life on the rock is in the safe direction. Why? Because Christ Jesus has been tested and found to be true. He is indeed absolutely true. And it is verified. It's verified in every aspect of his life. His sinless, sanctity of sinlessness. We look at his affection, the fidelity, which is so grounded on truthfulness, for which every prediction he gave in his life concerning things that are going to happen and things that are happening now and in his days all came true. He said, I'm going to die. On the third day, I rise up. He died, and on the third day, he rose up. He said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to the Father. When I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone we can trust more than Jesus Christ? Remember, in this world, don't let anybody deceive you. In this world, we all depend on people's words to survive. But I will encourage you, instead of depending on your fellow man's words to survive, just trust in the words of Jesus Christ. Because it is not just words, it is life and it is spirit. And that is why he calls us to put our faith in him. Now, forms of life storms, it's everywhere. Every corner you turn, they are there. Is it health crisis? Is it about your economic, financial, death of a loved one? Everywhere. There are so many. Just look on the screen. I don't know which one you are encountered with. But whichsoever of them, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you can confront them. You can face them when your trust is in me, rather than in the things of your life. Now, stages of life storm, like I said, Jesus Christ himself encountered. So everybody will definitely go through. I don't know which stage you are in, We have the pre-crisis. You've not entered. So probably your foot is on the threshold. Okay? And then we have the crisis. Possibly, probably, as you are sitting down here, you are in one. And you don't know what to do. You've been thinking, how? What should I do? And then we have the post-crisis. Definitely, it shall be over. Amen. It will be over. Let me tell you, there's nothing in this world that is permanent. Amen. That is why Jesus Christ gave us, in the fruit of the Spirit, there's patience. Be patient. Whatever thing that comes up will come down. That's why we have low points and then high points. Definitely, it shall come to an end. So, let's engage ourselves in the essence of Scripture. Scripture is very, very important. Because like I told you, for a couple to begin to understand one another comes from the words one gave to the other. The husband told the wife, I will love you to the end. And the wife said, nothing can come between us. And because of these words, they hold on and never want to let go. It's words. Your teacher tells you, or your lecturer, your professor tells you, oh, don't worry, I'll make sure you go through this course, okay? I'll see to it that you pass, okay? You see, these are words he or she gave you. Because of that, you stay comfortable in that. Somebody tells you, you will never survive, you never prosper. It is a word that that person has given to you. And sometimes we believe and let it have influence in our lives. Why can't we believe in the words of God? Is it because we cannot see God? Let me tell you, if you want to see him before you believe him, then you get frustrated. You never come out of frustration because he is a spirit. And the scripture says, those who worship him might do what? Worship him in and in truth. So if you are waiting to see, you get frustrated. I waited for 10 years to see, over 10 years to see my wife coming to the Lord. I did not say, God, change her before I engage myself in your service. No. I said, Lord, let your will be done because I believe in you. And today, like I told you, everything shall come to an end. Now it is past. It's a past tense now. Everything will come to pass. Our brothers who are doing their PhD masters, they started from a point. There's always an initial point. There's a terminating point. I was once a student. Now I'm not a student. So wherever you are, there's time for. As you find sorrow, you grieve. There's happiness, joy awaiting you. But the question is, would you come out of this crisis based on the strength God provided or on your own intelligence? That is why the book of Hebrews tells us, do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. And he is going to, you know, make your path straight for him. Now, the inerrancy of Scripture. You see, truth is truth, not because of age, not because of how long it has stayed, but because of correctness, accuracy, preciseness. The Scripture, as you have it, either on your mobile phone or as a hard copy, it is credible. Everything in it has been tested and tried and found to be truth. Because the one who spoke it is the God of all creation. He said, let light come out of darkness. And there was light. He said, the day is for you to work. The night is for you to rest. Have you woke up in the night to see the condition in the atmosphere? It's calm. Everybody goes to bed. Why? And then he said, God created the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested, right? Why don't we say, I want to have 8 days in a week? Because, you know, your time is not sufficient for you, right? The daytime is not. Why don't you make it 8 for yourself? It has been established. It cannot be changed. And this is the God we've come to. And and his word. So it is good for us to eat his word. Trust him. Because he's the only one who can deliver us from any crisis we ever encounter. Like I told you, I don't know where you are. Whether in the post or you are prayer or you are in it. But there is going to be a time of relief. And we talk about scripture of his revelation. It is through scripture that God makes himself known to us. Had it not been scripture, we wouldn't have known that the word was God and became flesh and lived among us. We saw his glory as the glory of the Father, who is full of grace and truth. Had it not been that, we wouldn't have known. So it is good for us to trust in the word of God. You know, sometimes we ask ourselves, we trust in history books. We were not there when the books were written, right? But we believe that there was a Qin dynasty. There was a Ming dynasty. And even in 1913, that was the last of the dynasty in China. How do you know? And you go to school, you boast about this because you know history, because you've read. God is saying, I am the God of the whole earth. I created the sun, the moon, everything. Jesus Christ said, I hold everything in this universe by the word of my power. Do you doubt that? Let us trust him, because scripture is truth and accurate. And for its illumination, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive understanding. And not only understanding, the strength to do. All is from the Holy Spirit. He enlightens our mind on the things of God, that we can live to honor him. It's all about words. But there's a word and a word. For instance, Pastor Perry, I know you're very rich. But if Pastor Perry tells Loic that, Loic, next week I'm going to give you 1 billion yuan. You look at him and say, Pastor Perry, don't lie to me. But let's say Elon comes here, and then Elon says, Loic, you do the sound here. Tomorrow I'll give you 1 billion yuan. For that one, he will trust that word, right? Why? Because Elon is dusted, right? He has something. And here, let's do comparison. Jesus Christ said, in this world, you will encounter tribulations, difficulties, challenges, crisis. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Do you doubt this in the presence of your crisis? You see, that is where faith comes in. And Hebrews tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us the strength to test truth in Scripture and begin to walk in it. Trusting that he who has given us promise is faithful. He can never deny himself. He is absolutely truth. If you know nothing, just think about what he said. I will die and then rise on the third day. Now we have what we call the empty tomb. You can't find his corpse anywhere, because he's risen. Indeed, he's coming back. He's coming back. And he's the one who has given us this assurance. And the interpretation, you see, sometimes we find it very difficult believing what we see in the scripture. Why? Because we don't take off our lenses the traditional lenses, our pride, the lenses of our, you know, who we think we are. We want to use the same lens to read and understand. But he calls us, if indeed we want to know him, we should relegate anything of ourselves and come to him as empty as we are. And it's then that he's going to pour himself into us. And so it is good for us, whatever thing we read in scripture, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us using the historical context, what it means then and how it applies to us now. It is very, very important. And then lastly, the essence of scripture is about the application. That is the power of the Christian, the power of the believer. If we can be obedient, what did Samuel tell Saul? He said, obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. He calls us to obey him. To obey him. Remember, we are his servants. Okay, let's elevate our status a little bit to children. Do children rub shoulders with their parents? And they are obedient. So if we call him dad, if we call him our heavenly father, it's a matter of obedience. He said, I've overcome the world. What do you also say? Dad, I don't believe in your power of overcoming the world. Remember, every child knows that his father or her father is very strong, right? Irrespective of whatever size you are, your child knows that you are very strong. So they can go out and then at least make some scaffolds and run back home. Come and hide behind you, thinking the father is going to defend. But we have a father who is so powerful, and he calls us to trust him. So, let's go back to the theme scripture. It was about the song of King David, right? Now, let's take scripture and look at what actually happened in his life. Like I told you, he was then king. And at that time, his kingship was at the verge of being taken away from him. And in those times, when your kingdom is taken away from you, the next is your life. Your kingdom and your life goes together. Okay? Or humiliation. And it was not only, it was not any other person. If it were to be an enemy, yeah, he would take it easily. But it was his son, his own son, Absalom, who was designed or destined to be the king of Israel after King David. But just at the time the father was still king, he wanted to grab it. And not only Absalom, David's own counselor, best friend, Ahithophel. At that time they said, when he gives counsels like the one the Son of God speaking, it's to the point. And this guy has joined forces with Absalom, and they are coming after David. He was a king. He was not a servant then. And now David is faced with this. That was his crisis. What did David do? David decided to leave. Why? Because he learned from Christ that in the midst of all things that you don't understand, learn to surrender to God who judges justly. He could have stood his ground to fight the incoming forces, but he learned to trust in the word of God. He said, if we stay here, there's going to be bloodshed. And what are we going to gain from this? So let us flee. Let us run for our lives. And as he was going, he was on barefoot. King was on barefoot and covered his head. It means shame on him. And not only that, to add to his woes, there was this man called Shemaiah. He comes from the tribe of Benjamin. And as he was coming, he said, wow, look at you. Blood testament, very wicked man. Look at you. You're getting what you deserve. And not only that, started pelting him with stones and throwing dust. So look at David. And one of his servants said, should I go and take off his head? Because it was easy. This one guy, then finish. David, let's go forward and see what he had unwavering trust in the Lord. So in the midst of your crisis, I want you to have unwavering trust in the Lord. He is the only one who can save you. He's the one who can make a way for you. No, people can give you promises. Remember, they don't owe their lives. They can tell you, I'll help you tomorrow. You go tomorrow, you'll not find such people. And here's the case, Ahithophel, who was a good counselor and a friend of David. Now he's joined forces with Absalom. You see, here we read from 2 Samuel 15:25-26. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. And if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and let me see both it and his dwelling place. But if he says, I have no pleasure in you, behold, here am I. Let him do to me what seems good to him. He learned to trust and give himself to the Lord. And then also 2 Samuel 15:31. And it was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom, with David. And David said, oh Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. You see, in everything he turned to the Lord. Even when it was so, he doesn't know what, he turned to the Lord. So what kind of conversation do you have in your crisis? Do you have holy conversations? Do you learn to trust in them? Do you learn to let people know that, yeah, it's difficult, but I trust him. He will lead me out of it. And then also, 2 Samuel 16:7-8. And Shemaiah said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your own son. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. All these were poured on the king, not a servant, not a shepherd boy. And then 2 Samuel 16:11-12 says, and David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my own son seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamin? Leave him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. If it may be that, it may be that the Lord will look on the wrong done to me, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today. You see, when he received evil, he turned it good from the Lord. He presents, that is what I want your conversation to be. Trusting in the Lord. That is what we say. Trusting in the Lord. Giving your whole, when all odds are against you, know that the favor of the Lord is with you. So the formidable rock, in the same psalm, it was in the same psalm, verse 22, this was what King David said. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. You see, at the beginning he said, my soul is downcast in me. I just want to fly away to go to some place. But now, in the same psalm, and in about, you know, some years later, when Christ came into the scene, what did he say? I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That is John 16:33. And in the words of Peter, repeating what King David said in those times, he said, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And what did Paul also tell us in the book of Romans? See, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Why? Because Hebrews 13:8 tells us, Jesus Christ of yesterday is the same. And then, do you trust this? He who delivered David, his life, He's saying the same thing to you. I am the Lord. I am still here. I established this church. Remember, SICF was not established by a human being. He used human instruments to lift it up. But it is He who sustains, who nourishes, who refreshes, who engages, who gives SICF life. And He says, once you've come to me, be rest assured because I love you. I will never deny you. So what we need to understand is that, in conclusion, crisis is inevitable for everybody. I don't know where you are today. It's inevitable. And remember, as we are praying, our brother read something. He said, this is a problem for every Christian around the globe. We are all going through that. So you are not the only one. Is it marital issues? Is it job issue? Is it family issues? Is it disobedient child? What is it? You are not the only person. And then your substance of confrontation is vital. Your substance. David could come back to Israel, to Jerusalem, to rule. Why? Because of his substance. His substance was God. And when you go back, please try and read 1 Samuel 15, 16, 17, 18. And see how Absalom died and how Ahithophel died. Look at how they all died, the two of them. Look at how they died. Look at how they died. So if you trust in the Lord, indeed, He would deliver you. Trust Him. And if the Lord and His word are your substance, then be rest assured, it shall be over. It shall be well with you because you have His word, and His word is powerful. His word is everlasting. He is undeniably, absolutely true. And trusting in Him, you cling to the truth, who is the anchor of life. May the good Lord bless your heart in whatever challenge you are going through. May He give you the strength. May He empower you. May He give you the grace, enrich your spirit, enlighten your mind, and give you the sustaining power to transcend beyond whatever challenge you are going through. Because whom that you've come into, He's a faithful God, and He will never deny Himself, because that is not part of His character. Let's be on our feet as we enter into a time of prayer. Shall we be on our feet as we enter into a time of prayer? I just want you to engage your spirit. Engage the Lord. Engage the Lord. Brother Malvin, very good. Engage the Lord. Whatever, I don't know, whichever stage of the crisis, of the challenge you find yourself, I just want you to engage the Lord. Remember, His word says, in this world you encounter this tribulation, this difficulty, this challenge, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So tell Him, pour your heart to Him and tell Him that you are taking Him by His word. May He work miracle in your life, because He is your only, trust, only support, only strength. And remember, He is the true vine. He supplies you the strength. He nourishes you. He refreshes you.